Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, the 2022 NFL Draft has came and went, and the Raiders have a lot of new additions to the team. We'll tell you who and where they come from. Also, fifth-year options have been determined by the team. We'll tell you what they came up with, thoughts on what the new regime has done, plus your calls and texts are all coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast for Monday, May 2nd, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Just Raiders. Win.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team Just every win. Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome into another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. And today's episode is being brought to you by BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline.net, that's where the game starts. We'll tell you much more about them later on in this segment. But Raider Nation have a lot to get to as the 2022 NFL Draft is officially in the books. The first one under new GM Dave Ziegler and, of course, head coach Josh McDaniels. And please believe we have plenty to talk about when it comes to the NFL Draft and what the Raiders were able to do. But I'll say this, man. Let me go ahead and start at the top. I've said this for a very long time. If you've been listening to this podcast for quite a while, you know that everything I do it from a media standpoint, but I also do it from a Raider fan standpoint. And I really try to bring everyone along on the ride that I'm on. So anything that I'm able to do, I really try to bring you along with it and make you understand it and almost like feel like you're in the same room and experiencing the same experiences that I have. And I'll tell you what, Raider Nation, I mean, I've had a lot of fun covering sports. I've done a lot of things as far as the draft goes, Super Bowls go. I mean, I've done a lot of things that I probably have no business doing, but very blessed to be in the position that I'm in. But what I experienced this past week, not just over the course of the 3 days where the draft was going on, but over the course of the last week, what I was able to do with the draft being here in Las Vegas and me being blessed enough to be in Las Vegas and, of course, work for Raider Nation Radio 920. And, of course, the Locked On Raiders podcast is the main reason that I work for Raider Nation Radio 920 is because of everything, all the success of this here podcast. And, of course, that has a lot to do with you. So thank you so much for that. But being associated with the radio station and being up close and personal with the team and, you know, being in the facility while the draft is going on, I mean, just all the experiences I had over this past week, you know, being able to talk to all these NFL network guys and all the draft prospects. I mean, that's one thing. I do that each and every year. But on Thursday, the very first day of the NFL draft, when the Raiders have no picks, I'm hanging out at the Raiders watch party at Dre's nightclub right there on the strip on Las Vegas Boulevard. I mean, I'm hanging out there with everyone who is everyone when it comes to the Silver Black. I mean, Charles Woodson was in the house. Tim Brown was in the house. Eric Allen was in the house. There's so many former Raiders that were in the building. And current Raiders, Kenyon Drake was there, and many, many others. And then to be able to see Raider Nation there and enjoying the draft. And again, with the Raiders not having a first-round pick, it was just one big, huge, massive Raiders party. So I'm there, and I didn't even stay there for a very long time because I had so much work that I had to do. Didn't really get to enjoy that party as much as I would like to. But just knowing that's how the NFL draft kicked off for me. Now, of course, I went down to the actual site of the draft and was able to hang out there and see a lot of Raider Nation really representing, even on days when the Raiders didn't have any picks, like Thursday. And then Friday, I get the opportunity to do a pre-draft show with JT the Brick, who, of course, he's doing it all the time. I mean, he's been with the Raiders organization forever, but I don't work with the Raiders. You know, I don't work for the Raiders. I don't get a check from the Raiders, but being able to work side by side with JT the Brick. And then, oh, by the way, we bring in Eric Allen and Kirk Morrison for the pre-draft show on Friday. You know what I mean? Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is where I'm at. This is the people that I'm hanging out with. Eric Allen is a guy that I remember going back all the way to Gum's Barbershop in Hayward, California. That's when he was playing for the Raiders. Him and his son used to go in there and get their haircuts. And so that was really my first up close and personal experience with Eric Allen, was at the barbershop. And then all of a sudden to come full circle and I'm doing a radio show with him. And, you know, he's always on the radio shows with JT. And then Kirk Morrison, a guy that I met for the very first time when I was at Lamont Jordan's birthday party way back in the day. Raider Nation, you remember when Lamont Jordan was a Raider, right? And Kirk Morrison, he was my favorite 52 before number 52, before Khalil Mack was a Raider. Kirk Morrison was my guy. I mean, that was my dude. And all of a sudden, I'm doing a radio show with him. So it's all four of us in the Raider facility, in the Raiders, their little broadcast studio. Oh, by the way, they have it streamed on YouTube as well, and it's all four of us. I mean, I'm trying to tell you, like, I'm not going to fan out. I'm not going to sit there and get all giddy and act like a little schoolgirl or anything like that, but it just is crazy when I think of how I even arrived here and how I'm sitting there doing a show with some Raider greats. And when I say greats, I mean greats. Eric Allen, great. Kirk Morrison, great. Probably the last great linebacker that the Raiders had as far as a homegrown guy. You know, him and Thomas Howard, the law firm of Morrison and Howard. And so I just want you to understand how blessed I am and how appreciative I am of all the support that I always get. And if you're calling the podcast or you're calling the radio station and, you know, tweeting at me or texting at me or whatever like that, I want you to know how much I appreciate it, because if it's not for you, if it's not for this podcast, I'm probably not in this position that I'm in right now. And, you know, one thing that I was told when I started doing the ESPN national shows, one of the guys that I talked to, you know, he was just asking me about being in Las Vegas and how much I loved it. And I was telling him how much I did and told him that, hey, if it wasn't for the Raiders, the podcast that I was doing and my knowledge of the Raiders, I probably wouldn't be in that position. And he said, that's right, don't ever forget what got you where you are, and that is the silver and black. And so I want to take that a step further and just say thank you, Raider Nation, who's always supported me here on the podcast, whether we agree or disagree, because sometimes we disagree, and that's okay. I'm all right with that. Sometimes I get upset. Sometimes you get upset. That's fine, but we can all do it from a place of respect, and we do, and I just want to make sure that I appreciate and thank you for all the support, because again, man, I am living the dream of I can imagine millions would love to be in the position I'm in. For some reason, I've been blessed with the ability to be here and been given the opportunity to be here, and I do not take it for granted. So thank you, Raider Nation, and hopefully you're enjoying this ride just like I'm enjoying the ride. And hopefully if I can help take you to that next level and get you in the same place that I am, I'm going to definitely do that. So like I said, hopefully you're enjoying that. And I know that I was supposed to talk about the draft picks. I was supposed to talk about the fifth year options. I know, but man, I could not really even get into this show without just talking about the whole experience that I had all weekend long. I mean, think about this. Saturday morning, I woke up Saturday morning and I drove down the street to the Raiders facility. Me and Eddie Pascal jumped in the studio and did another Raider pre-draft show. You know, after Friday, I did a post-draft show, me and Eric Allen, just me and Eric Allen one-on-one, you know, just, or the two of us on the show together. I mean, that's crazy. Like the Thursday or the Friday pre-show was great, but the Friday post-show was awesome, and Saturday as well. Like I'm a go-to dude. You know what I mean? Like, for me to realize that I'm a go-to dude and I'm a guy that has an option to be able to go to the facility all the time and go into the studio and do a show, whether it's on the radio or if it's, like I said, a pre-draft show, post-draft show, it's incredible, man. I really cannot... I can't speak on it enough, you know, without even sometimes getting a little bit emotional. Now, I'm not going to sit here and cry about it, but I mean, it's just like... It's just unbelievable. You know, I was that kid that was sitting in the Coliseum. I was that guy that crossed the bridge with my buddy Daniel to go see the games, or my mom, Mama Q, to go to see the games, or whoever I was with. We'd go to the game, sit in that Coliseum, walk around the parking lot, you know, sit there at the tailgates and all that good stuff and just soak it in and cheer on the silver and black. And now I'm in the building with the silver and black. You know, and still, I'm not getting a paycheck from the Raiders, so let's not get it twisted. I'm not getting a paycheck from them, but still, this opportunity and everything that I've had going on in less than a year since I've been here in Las Vegas has been incredible. I thought that I always did a good job covering the Raiders from a distance when I was in Texas, but I'll try to tell you, man, now being here in Vegas is taking this thing to a whole nother level. So hopefully you appreciate it and enjoy it as much as I am. So really, that's all I got for you for segment number one. And segment number two, we're actually going to talk about the players that the Raiders drafted. We'll talk about the fifth year options that the Raiders made their decisions on when it came to Jonathan Abram, Josh Jacobs, and Clelee Ferrell. Plus, we'll talk about more, of course, what the Raiders organization did during the whole draft process. Got a lot coming up for you in segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Before I get to any of that, though, I do want to tell you about BetOnline.net, which is the title sponsor of today's show. And with everything going on, the NBA playoffs, MLB, hockey's playoffs are going on, all that good stuff, BetOnline.net is your number one spot. You can go there, check it out. They'll have all the information for you that you need. You can got podcasts, they got scores, live betting, playoff information. They have everything you need. Just got to go to the website on your laptop or your mobile device. Again, it's BetOnline.net. It'll give you all the information you need to make the right bets, to get the good lines, all that good stuff, even prop bets if you need them. They have it all in one spot, BetOnline.net, which is where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to get into really the news and the notes. I got a little bit excited about the whole opportunity and the experience that was the draft week here in Las Vegas and everything I've been doing with the Raiders. So obviously didn't get to the news and notes in segment number one. So we're going to do that here in segment number two. We'll do it quick, fast, and in a hurry, and then we'll get to your calls coming up in segment number three. But everything started really on Friday when the fifth-year options were declined, all three of them, by the Raiders organization. Dave Ziegler put out a piece saying with the May 2nd deadline approaching, the Raiders have decided not to pick up the fifth-year options on Cleve Farrell, Josh Jacobs, and Jonathan Abram. We look forward to working with all three players and we'll evaluate each situation individually moving forward. Again, that was from GM Dave Ziegler. And I had referenced that on Thursday, on Friday's show, but on Thursday when we had talked to Josh McDaniels following the first round of the draft, and it really didn't sound like they were going to pick up the option on any of the guys. I did think maybe Josh Jacobs was going to have an opportunity, but Cleve Farrell and Jonathan Abram pretty much knew that they weren't going to get their options picked up. And look, I'm not surprised really that Josh Jacobs didn't get his picked up either. And by the results of the NFL draft, by all the players that the Raiders were selecting, kind of lets you know what they think about, you know, those guys moving forward. Not that they don't like them as players, not that they don't want them to be part of the organization, but they're going to make them prove it, just like they're going to make everyone else on the roster prove that their position is, they're worthy of their position. So all those guys have their work cut out for them. But you know, now that you look back at it and you look at the fifth-year options being declined on all three of those guys, you think about the trades that were made, you realize that really nobody won those trades. You know, I mean, the Bears got a little bit of love out of Khalil Mack for a little while. Then he ended up getting traded to the Chargers. Amari Cooper gave some love to the Cowboys for a little while. He gets traded to the Browns. And now the fifth-year options for all the guys that they got in the first round with Farrell, Jacobs, and Abram, they were all declined. And Henry Ruggs and Damon Arnett are no longer on the team. So really, nobody won any of those trades. But not a big surprise, so I don't have to go into big detail about Jacobs, Abram, and Farrell not getting their fifth-year options picked up. Now let's get into the guys that they actually selected in the 2022 NFL draft starting on Friday in round three. And before we get into the players, here's what Josh McDaniels and GM Dave Ziegler had to say following the whole draft when they met with the media, just their opening statement about how they thought things went.
We should start by saying thank you and how appreciative we are to the people that helped us in this process. You know, the draft is always a huge undertaking, and there's so many months worth of work that go into, you know, one selection, let alone the entire weekend. But Dave and his staff, the scouts, everybody in the personnel department, the coaching staff, the contributions that they made, you know, the people that were here before Dave and I got here, the people that came here, you know, after we were hired, really banded together, and I thought did a tremendous job of preparing us in a short time. Your first draft's always a tough challenge, and you know, you're in a kind of a crunch time frame. You're trying to change some things, terminology, you change systems on offense, defense, and special teams, and there's some inherent challenges that go along with that. But I thought the attitude and the commitment and the effort that everybody put in was tremendous, and representative of the kind of effort that we're looking for from everybody in the organization, and they did a great job of really putting that forward here in this draft cycle here.
Yeah, I concur with all of that. You know, this was a good first run for us, and just like all first runs, there's, you know, things that you learn too, and things that will go back and you know, we'll, like we do with every process, we'll go back and look at what went well, what areas we need to improve, and then come up with solutions to the areas that we need to improve. And I'm talking about the whole process, you know, that starts way back in the fall and then that ends up on, you know, that finishes up today. And it was a, you know, it was a good experience going through it with Josh. Obviously we've known each other for a long time, but it was a cool experience too, to do it together. And we had fun, and, you know, we'll see where it goes from here.
So there you go. You just heard from head coach Josh McDaniels, followed by GM Dave Ziegler, just talking about the process, thanking the guys that were all involved. And one reason that they thanked all the guys that were involved is because you'll start to see some turnover. You'll start to see some scouts leave the organization, because now that the draft is over and all their work is done, now that they can start to move some guys out and bring some of their other guys in. So you'll start to see a little bit of turnover, but I thought it was important to hear from the GM and the head coach before we really got started on who they selected. So in round three, instead of picking at number 86, they actually traded back to pick number 90, and they went with Dylan Parham, offensive lineman out of Memphis. He's a guy that could be on the inside. He's a guy that could play any guard position. He could play the center position. So if you're John Simpson, if you're Alex Leatherwood, if you're Denzel Good, if you're Andre James, you've got competition. Dylan Parham is a guy that really was a surprise that he was still there at number 90. He wasn't a guy that was on my radar. Matter of fact, none of the guys that they selected was on my radar, and that's just something that we talked about a lot, that this new regime, we're going to have to get to know them and see what their kind of tendencies are. So this was the first time for all of us. So, and I thought that overall the Raiders did a really good job in their draft. But Dylan Parham started things off. He was the round three pick, the inside lineman, interior lineman, guard, center. He could play either one of those positions out of Memphis. Brings versatility and competition to that spot. Now, the round four pick, pick number 122. This one really surprised me. Zamir White, the running back out of Georgia, a national champion. He's a guy that, well, shouldn't really shock anyone after you saw that Josh Jacobs didn't get his fifth-year option picked up, but I didn't think that they were going to go running back, not in round four. I thought that corner was most likely going to be the position because I feel like they had a need at that position. They ultimately ended up not drafting any corners at all. Now, they did sign a couple during undrafted free agents, but Zamir White, running back out of Georgia, pick number 122. He's a guy that's a strong runner. Now, he's had some ACL issues. He's had two torn ACLs, so if he can stay healthy, then you know, he could be a big-time player for the Raiders. But the one thing that Josh McDaniels, I know for a fact, he wants to have a loaded running back room, and that's exactly what they have. Think about this. Outside of Brandon Bolden, who the Raiders, the new regime, has brought in, he came over from the Patriots, there is not one running back, there wasn't one running back under contract past this year since Josh Jacobs didn't get his fifth-year option picked up. Kenyon Drake only has 1 year left on his deal. So there was, everyone's going to be a free agent in that running back room except for Brandon Bolden. So when you see a Zamir White get picked up, it shouldn't be a big shock. But Josh McDaniels loves to use a plethora of running backs. Then, also in round four, as the Raiders got busy and they made another trade, they traded up to pick number 126, Neil Farrell Jr., the defensive tackle out of LSU, a big boy, 330-something pounds. He's a guy that's going to help plug the run. He's going to stuff the run. That's something that the Raiders have made a big emphasis on ever since the new regime has taken over. Make sure they have the big boys in the middle to stop the run. That's going to help guys like Chandler Jones, guys like Max Crosby come screaming in off the edges as they're trying to get to the quarterback. But they got to have that beef in the middle, and they've done a really good job going ahead and getting as much beef as possible. But they didn't stop there in round four. They got some more beef. Another defensive tackle in round five, pick number 175, Matthew Butler. And this is a guy that a lot of people had their eye on. I was actually shocked that he was around in round five at pick 175, but they got him, another guy that can help slow down the run. So they've got about six or seven defensive tackles now, all 300-pound plus on the roster, and those guys are going to compete in training camp. You know, maybe the best four or five of those guys stick around, and I'll tell you right now, they are really making a very big emphasis to make sure that defensive line is bulked up compared to what it was a year ago when Gus Bradley had the guys that were a little bit thinner, guys that can just, you know, shoot the gap and try to get to the quarterback. He wanted those fast guys. Patrick Graham, he wants the bigger dudes that are going to slow down the run and help stop the run and get that interior push. So Matthew Butler, round five pick, pick number 175 for the Silver and Black. Then they continue to work on the trenches. In round seven, Thayer Mumford Jr., offensive tackle out of Ohio State. He's a guy that I'm not expecting to be a day one starter. I'm not even expecting him to be an ever starter, but he's a guy that could provide some competition, some depth, and you never know what could happen. You know, he's a guy that's going to make all the tackles really work their tail off. I mean, I know Colton Miller, he's entrenched. He's good, but Alex Leatherwood, if they do decide to give him another shot at tackle, he'll be in competition with Mumford. He'll be in competition with Parker. He'll be in competition with any undrafted free agents that they bring in. I mean, he's going to have competition, and that's exactly what they want. They want to provide as much competition and make these guys push each other. So they get the guy on the interior, Dylan Parham. He's going to be a guard or center. He could play either one of those positions. They get him in round three, and then they double down on the offensive line with a tackle that they get in round seven in Thayer Mumford Jr. Then they close out the draft with one more pick in round seven, number 250 overall, Britton Brown, running back out of UCLA. So everything that they did in the draft was in twos. Two offensive linemen, two running backs, two defensive tackles. Out of their six picks, that's what it was. That was the breakdown right there. They continued to get the guys that they felt were the best players available when they were up and it was their turn to make a pick. Matter of fact, they spoke on kind of the process that they went through while they were making the selections during the draft.
I think there's an element too of, you know, you stick to your process, and like, you know, and Dave's laid it out for us, and we've done a good job of going back and forth, discussing who the right people are to take and evaluating all those players. And really, there's no right or wrong at this point. You know, we took the players that we felt were the best players at that position, you know, when we were picking at that time in the draft. And now it's time to work and develop those people. And what we do from here on out will have a lot to do with how we look back on each selection and what we think of it, you know, moving forward.
So there was Josh McDaniels talking about the best player available, and that was what Dave Ziegler, the GM, you know, he laid that out for the team and for the front office guys and the scouts, and that's how their board was. Hey, whoever was the best player available is who we're going to take, and that's what they've told us. They've talked about it a lot throughout this whole process, that that's just kind of how they lay their board, and wherever they have these guys valued is what they're going to do and what they're going to take and who they're going to take. And, you know, when I was doing that pre-draft show with Eric Allen, even a post-draft show with Eric Allen, one thing he said is, hey, it's one thing to talk about something, but can you practice what you preach? And the one thing I'll take away from this whole draft process with this new regime is they were practicing what they preached. Now, we will talk way more about the picks that the Raiders had, and we'll definitely have people on the show breaking down each and every one of these guys, you know, just what they bring to the table. We'll do a lot more of that. We've got plenty of time to do that. I did real quickly want to go over the undrafted free agents as of right now that I know of that they have. And currently, with all these undrafted free agents that I'm about to give you, they'll have about 88 guys on their roster, and they can have 90. So I'll go through these really quickly. I'm not going to have a breakdown of them, but I'm just going to go ahead and give you the names so you're aware of them. Cornerback Sam Webb out of Missouri Western. Quarterback Chase Garbers out of Cal. Outside linebacker defensive end Zach Van Vackelberg out of Iowa. Defensive lineman Myron Tagovailoa Amosa out of Notre Dame. Offensive lineman Bamadele Olesini out of Utah. Definitely got his name wrong. I apologize in advance. I know I butchered that name. Linebacker Darian Butler out of Arizona State. Safety Isaiah Polamoa out of USC. Tight end Cole Fotheringham out of Utah. Safety Quinterio Cole out of Louisville. Safety Bryce Cosby out of Ball State. Wide receiver Justin Hall also out of Ball State. Wide receiver Trey Turner out of Virginia Tech. And linebacker Lucas Masterson out of Wake Forest. So that was the undrafted free agents that I know of as of right now that the Raiders have signed. Again, their roster should be at around 88 players. They can have a total of 90. And if there's any of those guys that interest you, I know wide receiver Trey Turner out of Virginia Tech was a guy a lot of folks were excited about. Sam Webb out of Missouri Western was a guy that a lot of folks were excited about. Darian Butler out of Arizona State. A few of those guys. If there's any of those guys that really interest you, you could always hit me up and we'll do a breakdown on those guys as well. And especially as time goes on and you see who really sticks around and who doesn't stick around, we'll start to do more of a breakdown of those guys. But we'll definitely do a big time breakdown of all the Raiders' actual draft picks, all six of those guys that they selected in the 2022 NFL draft. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before I get to that, though, I do want to tell you about Built Bar and everything that they have going on, including their granola bars that they have available right now at built.com. Chocolate peanut butter, chocolate coconut. They have a granola mix box that you can get. The only one that you cannot get, white chocolate berry, because that one is all the way sold out. So you can't get that one right now, but you can get a great tasting protein bar. Instead of sending the kids out to play during summer and give them a candy bar, or when they come in from playing and they're hungry and you give them a candy bar as a snack, you can give them a Built Bar. Half the time they wouldn't even know that it's a protein bar and that you're giving them something that's actually healthy for them, because it tastes so stinking good, right? It tastes great. So that's all they care about, and you'll feel good about yourself because you know that you're giving them something that's healthy for them. Very low in calories, high in protein, low in sugar, but they're 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew. I like to put mine in the fridge. You don't have to. Whatever way you want to look at it, it is all good. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15. You're going to get 15% off your order just like that. It's all one word, LOCKED15, for 15% off at built.com.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Matter of fact, haven't had any calls or texts for a couple days. Let's go ahead and start off with some texts. Let's start off with a text from Jacob in Fresno, representing that 559. Hey, Q, Jacob from Fresno. While this is way too early to get excited about, I really dig this undrafted free agent signing. 6'8", 300-plus pounder offensive tackle, Bamadele Olesini. This guy held Kayvon Thibodeau to only one sack in two games. While he played mostly left tackle, he took reps at right tackle at the Shrine Bowl practices to show the theme of this year's draft, which is versatility. What's your overall opinion of this year's draft? Go Raiders. That's from Jacob in Fresno. And thank you for that text. And, of course, you like the guy that I couldn't say his name. The guy that I struggled with his name the most is the guy that you like. But, no, I mean, that's a good fact. That's something good to point out right there that, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau, who ended up going to, what, number five overall to the G-men, he only had one sack in two games because Olesini was able to hold him down. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to be able to do that and translate that to the next level, but he's got an opportunity. I think overall the draft class was really good. I think that they got the needs that they had, which was offensive line, defensive line. I did think that they were going to address the corner position, but they didn't have a guy in their position that they felt was valuable enough. So they didn't. But I really just trust what they're doing. Because I feel like that everything they've done, there's no reason for me not to trust them, you know? And that's something different than what we are used to as Raider fans, you know? It's just kind of, you just don't know what's going to happen. You're expecting something bad to come. I just don't have that feeling. Now, look, it doesn't mean that every player that they drafted is going to be great. It doesn't mean that at all. You know, they're going to miss on guys, no doubt about it. There's probably going to be a couple guys that are going to come right after the Raiders made a pick, and they're going to end up being a great player. That's just how it shakes out sometimes. But I'll tell you, I have a lot of confidence in this new regime and what they're able to do. And so I like the draft class. I know there's some people that put grades on draft classes. I really don't do that, or I try to not do that because, again, we just don't know. But my good buddy John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, who's now retired, he actually gave the Raiders a D, you know, and so I'm going to ask him on Tuesday when I have him on my radio show what he saw that made the Raiders get a D and hear what he has to say. I'm not going to question it. You know, everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I appreciate it, but I definitely will ask him what he saw, and maybe he'll give an explanation that makes some sense. But for me, the draft class looked pretty stinking good to me. So thank you so much, Jacob, for that text. I appreciate you. Next up, got a call from the 916. Didn't leave his name. I know that he's called before, but I just didn't have your name. I apologize, but he's calling to recap the draft and the fifth-year option guys as well. Here's a call representing the 916, Sacramento, California.
Hey, Q, just calling to recap on the draft. I'm loving how balanced it is. You know, we got two running backs, two defensive tackles, two offensive linemen. That's pretty solid. Another thing, the fifth-year options for Abrams, Farrell, and Jacobs, I don't feel like anybody's really surprised that those fifth-year options didn't get picked up. At the end of the day, those aren't Ziegler guys, McDaniel guys. Those are Bruton guys, Mayock guys. And at this point, it's like they got to prove it to this new regime. Like, hey, you want to be here? You got to perform. And a lot of guys from that era, from the Gruden era, I feel like they got to prove it because this is a whole new regime. Let's be honest. Like, a new boss comes in. I think you said something like this before. A new boss comes in. No matter what you did for the previous boss, no matter how good you look, that new boss doesn't care about none of that. Do you fit what they do? So a lot of these guys got to prove it. I feel like Jacobs, I like him, but this might be his last year here. Honestly, if he doesn't perform up to snuff based off the amount of running backs that we're getting. Farrell, he got a chance to prove himself because, like, he's been disappointing the last few years. Abrams can't stay healthy. So fifth-year options, if I was in office, I probably wouldn't give none of them the fifth-year option my dang self. So, hey, new regime, got to prove it. The Gruden guys got to prove it. Not all of them, but some of them, they got to prove it. I feel like Derek Carr is even one of the guys that got to prove it based off the contract that he has. Everything he has around him, if he doesn't prove it, I feel like he might be out of here. That's all I got to say, though. Hey, good stuff. I love the show. First listen. Keep it up, Q.
There it is. Call from the 916 talking about the draft and the fifth-year option, guys. And, again, I apologize for not having your name. But, yeah, I like the way that the Raiders drafted. I felt it was very balanced, like you mentioned, two of each. You know, two offensive linemen, two defensive linemen, two running backs. I'm fine with that. No problem at all. Fifth-year option guys not being picked up definitely was not a surprise. Something that, you know, we talked about on Friday's show that I had a gut feeling based off Josh McDaniels' answers from the night before on Thursday that was what was going to happen, but wanted to see it and hear it officially. And, well, they put it out there on Friday right before the start of the draft, the day two of the draft, that they weren't picking up the option on any of those guys. So thank you so much for that call. I do appreciate you. Next time you call, make sure you leave your name. Want to be able to shout you out, no doubt about it. Again, thank you so much for the call. Next up, a text from Black Hole Jr. out the 925. Q, what is good? I changed my name from the delivery man to Black Hole Jr. out of 925. Anyhow, what a great pick at 22. On to my point of view. Devontae Adams, wow. And got to give it up to the new regime. Great value picks and some players that could turn out to be Pro Bowlers. Raiders picked up some needs and best available players on the board. I'd give the draft an overall B+. Adding Devontae gives it an A. Was quite surprised with the running back picks, but overall I felt they have a plan with every position, and Raider Nation should be excited. Can't wait for training camp and the season to see what these guys have to offer. And I have a question to you. What grade would you give the Raiders? You and everyone have a blessed day. And Raiders from Black Hole Jr. out the 925. Thank you so much for that text. And I like the B+ grade that you give them. And if I was going to give them a grade, I'd probably say it's around the B area, B+ as well. As I mentioned, John McClain, my good buddy that I respect the hell out of, actually gave him a D. At least that's what it was on Twitter. It showed on Twitter that he gave him a D. So I'll ask him because I don't know what he saw that made him get a D, but like I said, I'm definitely going to ask them. Grades are so hard to give because it's what we're seeing right now, not what we're seeing in training camp and during the regular season and as their pros. I mean, we just don't know how any of these players are going to shake out and pan out. So if I had to give them a grade, I'd say around the B range is fair, but that's just my opinion. So, I mean, it is what it is. But thank you so much for that text. I do appreciate you. Next up, got a call from Raider Russell in Tampa Bay. He's calling to talk about the draft and then the fifth-year option not being picked up for running back Josh Jacobs. Here he is, Raider Russell in Tampa Bay.
Q, Raider Russell from Tampa Bay. Listen, I had a chance to overlook and see the draftees that we've got. Pretty impressed. They filled a lot of holes on both the offensive and defensive line. Interesting about the choices for running back. And I think that running back room is going to be wide open. And this might be just another indication why they didn't give Josh Jacobs that fifth-year option. Is he potential trade bait? Or are any of the others, Abram or Klee, are they potential trade bait too? We still have time before opening up of the practices. And I wouldn't be surprised if one or two of these gentlemen are moved on. Love the show, Q. Peace on, Raider Nation. I feel very confident about this season.
There he goes. That's Raider Russell in Tampa Bay. Thank you so much for the call. And I agree 100%. You should feel confident about the draft and the direction that the team is going because, well, this new regime has not given you any reason not to. Right. You know, so for right now, I definitely trust this regime. I believe in what they're doing. I something about their calm, confident approach really makes me confident and believe in what they got going on. As far as the running back room goes, it's packed. You know, I believe Josh Jacobs could be a trade guy, but I don't think it's likely. Only because running backs are so little valued at this point, but I think Josh Jacobs is going to have an opportunity to play this season and maybe light a fire under him and maybe even have a bigger season than he's had, and he's not had bad seasons. You know, he's a good guy, hell of a player, but again, you look at the value of running backs and where they're just not there anymore. I could see them moving on from Josh after this year, or, you know, if he has a big monster season, maybe holding on to him for an extra year or two, you know, but I don't expect to see anything major in long-term, as far as Josh Jacobs goes, just because he's a running back in the league. But we'll see what happens. We'll see how it all shakes out. Clee Farrell and John Abram, I honestly would not be shocked if they don't even make it out of training camp. You know, I could see them being moved sooner rather than later, really. I thought, actually, there was an opportunity that maybe they would get traded during the draft. It didn't happen, but I think that it would be really a shock to see them playing for the Silver and Black in 2022. But that's just me. We'll see what happens. But thank you again for that call. I do appreciate you. And we'll close things out with a text from Brent, texting out of Boston. He says, Q, what up? Checking in with my version of the good, the bad, and the ugly after this year's draft is in the books. The good, the odds that Waller and Renfro earn themselves some extra money once those post-June 1st funds become available. There is no way they trotted Waller out there by mistake to start the draft. That was a big F you to anyone that thought he was getting traded. The bad, the increased chance that Leatherwood kicks back out to right tackle after we drafted two very versatile interior linemen in this draft. I hope he steps up to the challenge. Now, before I go on, let me go ahead and clarify that Munford, the other offensive lineman that the Raiders did draft, he can play tackle. So, yeah, he could definitely play guard as he did his final year at Ohio State, but he did play left tackle before that. So he can play both. I think that he's going to be more of a rotational piece for that tackle position, but we'll see. And you're not wrong because he can play on the inside. Okay, and then moving on with Brent's text. And finally, the ugly. Jacobs' chances of being in the silver and black beyond this season. They declined his fifth-year option, then proceeded to draft two running backs in the draft to make a very crowded running back room. He's a good running back, but I think his days are numbered. Looking forward to post-June 1st to see what this front office has up their sleeves. Just win, baby. And, yeah, kind of went into good detail about Josh Jacobs already, and I could easily see him walking after this year. I mean, really, if they could find a trade partner for him, I could see them moving on from him before this year, but I just don't think the value of running backs to be traded is really there right now. I don't think that they just flat out cut him because he does provide a lot and brings it a lot to the table. But again, they're not tied to any of these guys because they weren't, you know, Ziegler guys and they weren't McDaniels guys. They weren't Champ Kelly's guys. They were Gruden and Mayock guys. So if they were to move on from him, wouldn't be a huge shock before the 2022 season. But I think that they'll, if anything, move on after the 2022 season. But thank you so much for that text, my man. I do appreciate you. And that's going to do it for today's show. Definitely appreciate all the feedback. Still got a text from Andrew DeRader that we'll get to tomorrow. Got some calls that we'll get to tomorrow. We'll have more news and notes, and we'll start our breakdowns of the players that the Raiders selected in the 2022 NFL draft. They came away with six players: Dylan Parham, offensive lineman out of Memphis; Zamir White, running back out of Georgia; Neil Farrell Jr., defensive tackle out of LSU; Matthew Butler, defensive tackle out of Tennessee; Thayer Mumford Jr., offensive lineman out of Ohio State; and Britton Brown, running back out of UCLA. We'll start to break down all of those guys each and every day here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find it free and available on all platforms. So until tomorrow, Raider Nation, take care of your family. Love on your family. Appreciate you. As always, just win, baby.